From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Folly of Hardening the Heart Against God, part of his series of studies in the book of Joshua. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please give your attention to this devotional thought from Faith Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Real Estate in Heaven. The text is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. This is well. Our substance here is very unsubstantial. There is no substance in it. But God has given us a promise of real estate in the glory land, and that promise comes to our hearts with such full assurance of its certainty that we know in ourselves that we have an enduring substance there. Yes, we have it even now. They say a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, but we have our bird in the bush and in the hand too. Heaven is even now our own. We have the title deed of it. We have the earnest of it. We have the first fruits of it. We have heaven in price, in promise, and in principle. This we know not only by the hearing of the ear, but in ourselves. Should not the thought of the better substance on the other side of Jordan reconcile us to present losses? Our spending money we may lose, but our treasure is safe. We have lost the shadows, but the substance remains, for our Savior lives, and the place which He has prepared for us abides. There is a better land, a better substance, a better promise, and all this comes to us by a better covenant. Wherefore, let us be in better spirits, and say unto the Lord, Every day will I bless Thee, and praise Thy name for ever and ever.
Hear how the heavens are sounding His name. Hear how the earth rings His glory and fame. Ocean and mountain, stream, forest, fire, echo His praises, tell of His power.
Come and reach praise to his name. Glorious Savior, his love we proclaim. Sing we the song of the Lamb who was slain, dying to save us, rising to
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Having conquered the cities in the southern part of Canaan, Joshua and the army of Israel now turned northward. Jabin, king of Hazor, united the kings of the northern cities to fight against the Israelites. That army was equipped with iron chariots designed to terrify the enemy. Yet the Lord told Joshua not to fear them, and in the ensuing battle Israel won a great victory. In applying this account to the unsaved, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the danger of ignoring the plain teaching of God's Word and of hardening one's heart against the warnings of impending judgment upon sin. Jabin knew well what the Lord had done in the south, yet he deliberately chose to fight against God and lost. Many a lost person has heard enough of the gospel to know what he ought to do. Like Jabin, many harden their hearts and refuse to repent and come to Christ. Now to continue this message, the folly of hardening the heart against God, here is Dr. Cairns.
As we have noted right throughout the book of Joshua, we find much more than history here. We find spiritual truth in this passage. Here again in Joshua, we will see foreshadowings of Christ. And I think next Lord's Day morning, I will draw your attention to how Joshua parallels Christ in his great conquest according to the law of Moses. We will see then a foreshadowing of Christ, our greater Joshua. Also we can see here doctrinal, devotional, practical, and evangelistic truths. Today what I want to do is to turn your attention to the words of verse 1 and link them with what we read in verse 20. Because I think that here there is a solemn and a searching message. It came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to all these kings to form a confederacy against Israel. Verse 20 tells us that it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel, that he might destroy them utterly, that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. This text strikes a most solemn note of warning. Jabin was a title of the kings of Hazor, much like Pharaoh was a title of the kings of Israel. The word has the meaning of the wise one, or the intelligent one. And yet the very first thing we read of this man is something that showed him as idiotic, not intelligent. As soon as he had heard of Israel's victory over the southern confederacy, he launched forth with his own northern confederacy to defeat the children of Israel. Clearly he was depending on superior numbers to what the south had had. He was depending on better preparation. He was depending on much superior armament. But he was overlooking one very vital lesson. Any military man should have seen it immediately from what had happened in the south. It is one thing to bring together a great confederation of nations and armies. But once that confederated army suffers one devastating defeat, it leaves the rest of the land wide open for systematic reduction. That's what had happened in the south. Obviously, Jabin was either so blind, so foolish, or so proud of his own abilities that he was heedless of the lessons of the southern campaign. Even worse, he was heedless of a much greater lesson. By that time, the whole land, with all the kings and all the cities and nations, they had heard of the Lord's mighty action on behalf of Israel. They had heard how he had intervened time and again. We know from Scripture they had heard of the drying up of Jordan. They had heard of the fall of Jericho. We cannot today really imagine the shock waves that went through the entire area with the fall of Jericho, and especially the nature of its fall. Jericho has been called the oldest fortified city ever excavated. It's the oldest fortified city known to man. Its walls were a wonder of the world in those days. Its defenses were apparently impregnable. And yet they heard how Joshua didn't even have to sling a shot against those mighty walls. He didn't have to have one soldier try to scale those walls. He didn't have one try to set them on fire. God simply sank them into the ground, and they went up straight, every man before them. Now the shock of that going through the nations was truly tremendous. They'd heard also of the great sweeping victories the Lord had given to Israel, every one of them testifying to the power of God on behalf of His people. Jabin knew, as surely as he knew his own name, Jabin knew that he was not only going out to fight Joshua, who was demonstrably a great general and a great leader of men. He was not only going out to fight Israel, which had demonstrated its prowess in the field of battle, but he was going out to fight against the Lord God Jehovah. But he determined to fight on to his own destruction. Our text tells us when he heard, he became more obstinate. I was thinking as I read this, he was hardened by the very news, or kind of news, that had brought the Gibeonites to sue for peace. When he heard what they heard, instead of it bringing him humbly to sue for peace, it made him hard in his heart. And then verse 20 tells us that the Lord left him to the dictates of his own heart. It was of the Lord to harden his heart. In other words, God did not intervene with any supernatural grace. Jabin and his friends were willfully wicked, willfully rebellious, and the Lord allowed them to remain that way. Verse 1, therefore, says, Jabin hardened his heart. Verse 20 tells us God confirmed him in that state. Now that is a very serious thought. It has a very pertinent message for any congregation. That's one I want to leave with you today. The message of this text can be very easily summed up in the words of Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want today from this passage to talk to you very simply and very seriously about the folly of hardening the heart against God and His Word. Let me note from this passage first that Jabin had heard enough to make his duty plain. Jabin had heard of the doings of the Lord. He had heard of the covenant of God with Israel. He had heard of how the Lord had put His covenant into effect. He had heard how God had destroyed every foe that had stood against the progress of His people. He had also heard how in mercy God had allowed peace with the Hivites of Gibeon. He had heard how generously those enemies had been treated, how well they had been received. He had heard indeed that Joshua had come to their aid when they had become the target of hatred and oppression from their neighbors. Jabin had heard all of this. And yet, he took his decision to fight the Lord. He knew what he ought to do. He had heard enough, indeed he had heard far more than the Gibeonites had ever heard. It was enough to make them know what they ought to do to escape with their lives. He had heard what God had done more than sufficient to show him what a wise man ought to do. We know this from Scripture. Way back in chapter 2, starting in verse 9, we read the words of Rahab to the spies. Now, at that time, she tells us, that was before the children of Israel had actually begun to conquer the land. At that time, she tells us they had already heard enough to make them tremble and fear and to know that God had given them the land. She said unto the spies, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. We have heard what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan. And as soon as we had heard these things, our own heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. That's the kind of thing that was being said throughout the land. Jabin was no stranger to these truths. He had heard them. He had heard of the power of God and how fatal it was to oppose that power. He had heard of the mercy of God and how freely that mercy was extended in the case of the Gibeonites. Now the implications of all this were abundantly plain. Wisdom and duty coincided here, and they pointed to one course of action. Jabin knew enough from what he had heard to choose the right course. But he didn't, and perished for his trouble. Human nature, of course, never changes. Millions today are doing the very thing that Jabin did. They hear the word of God. They hear of God's holiness, God's law, and God's judgment. Even more, they hear of God's grace and God's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. They read and hear from Scripture the examples of sinners receiving mercy and the records of the impenitent receiving destruction. Perhaps I should say that's not just true of the millions, but it's true of people brought up in churches just like this. And it's true of people in this very meeting. You have heard enough to save the world. You have heard enough to be absolutely sure of what you ought to do in the light of eternity. You have not been denied the Word of God. You have grown up with a Bible in every room of your home. You've grown up with the Bible's message ringing in your ears every week of your life. Some of you, every day of your life. You know the mighty power of God. You know the mighty judgment of God. You know the power and majesty of the law of God. You know there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. You know of the place called Calvary and the atoning blood that Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins. You know of the empty tomb. You know of the invitation of grace. You know of the fate of the ungodly and of the joyous life forever of those whom Jesus saves. From all this, it's clear what you ought to do. The Bible tells us, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. Isn't that simple enough? Incline your ear. Listen carefully. And act upon what you hear. What is the action that is required in the light of all you have ever heard of the God of the Bible and the Christ of the Bible and the salvation of the Bible? What is the action that is required? Come unto me. That's the action.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.